Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib and happy Friday. It's an interesting time to be watching Bravo right now because we're coming out of a Housewives heavy winter and into a spring weighted way more towards the quote younger shows on the network. Right now we have Summer House, Vanderpump Rules, The Valley, and Below Deck, and they're soon to be joined by Summer House, Martha's Vineyard when the second season premieres this Sunday. Real Housewives of Potomac precedes that premiere, but that season is winding down. We also have Top Chef, which just premiered its new season with a new host, the awesome Kristen Kish. And while I wish there was at least one other Housewives on right now, because I will say, one does feel very light. Though Jersey does come back in May. The current state of Bravo shows kind of fits the season, I feel, and I'm actually kind of finding it to be a nice change of pace. And I think what also helps that feeling is the fact that Summer House is having such a great season. It just goes to show that our Bravo shows really do come in waves. Summer House had a really tough season last year. It wasn't fun to watch. The vibes were off. They were very negative. And that reunion left me, and I think a lot of people, questioning how they could possibly cohabitate in a house all summer. But this season is, of course, proving that they more than still had it in them, thanks, I think, in part to a few factors. I think obviously the first is West and Jesse, the two new men who are absolutely breath of fresh, particularly West, who might be the most popular new addition to like any of these shows in a very, very long time. Anytime there's a post about him, the comments and the engagement about him on social media are like insanely positive, which bodes well, not just for his future on the show, but also I think on the network at large. And I mean, last Sunday, I was watching the Instagram live that two judgy girls did for the unveiling of their March Madness bracket. If you know, you know. Side note, go follow two judgy girls on Instagram to vote in their annual tournament, which determines the hottest man currently on Bravo. It's voted on by their followers. It's really fun. A lot of the men like start to play into it and campaign for themselves. You just got to go follow them just to see it in their stories. But anyway, I was watching the unveiling of that bracket, and the comments were like almost immediately a lot about Wes. They were like, where is he going to be seated? He better be number one. I want this to be his year. And then he dropped into the comments and the people went nuts. Like it was just so funny to watch. And all that's to say that West is the man of the moment on Bravo, and I'm excited to see what else he has in store. And it's also fun to see West and Jesse become such good friends through this whole experience. Like, they're posting all these TikToks together, and there's just something heartening about watching two people come into a show together and bond through being the two new people, as opposed to being threatened by one another or one of them sort of flopping and it being kind of awkward. Like, they're both genuinely great additions and they just excite me. And I think they injected a really much needed energy into this house. I also think that the girls being all on the same page about, at the very least, being cordial with one another has been a key to the early success of this season. Danielle made a good point when I interviewed her a couple episodes ago when she said that Paige and Lindsay, who were the most adversarial at that last reunion, got it all out of their system and to the point where, like, there was nothing else for them to say to one another. Like, they couldn't really go lower on either side. And so they might as well kick off with a relatively clean slate with one another this season. And with Lindsay and Danielle, on the other hand, their off-camera meetup ahead of the season seems to have done wonders for their relationship. And they really did like fall back into place with one another very quickly. And it's been honestly kind of fascinating to watch. But again, all of that is to say that there's really no longer a big divide in the house that can make it awkward for them to all hang out in the shared spaces. That being said, I do think that every season needs a hook, a dramatic hook. And obviously this season's is Lindsay and Carl's eventual breakup and us being able to see what led to Carl calling off the engagement on camera at the end of the summer. It's honestly been tough to watch, and I think that we're all learning a lot about what really happened between them, but I'm glad that it hasn't all felt like rehashing of stuff that we already knew. The story itself has been complicated for viewers via what we've seen on the show, and it's given this season intrigue and drama, but importantly, it's not drama that has completely divided the house. Anyway, we're early in that season of Summer House, so I'm really excited to have so much more of it to go. And while the season of Vanderpump Rules has so far been pretty lackluster and not very exciting, that's no secret. You can start to see why Andy said when he was in the car on the way to film the reunion last weekend that the back half of the season really delivers. You can feel the action start to heat up right now. There's the Joe stuff. There's kind of Sandoval, I think, kind of tapping into another gear. There's Ariana and Sheena and Lala. There seems to be sort of a building tension there. And, you know, the emergence of Jax via the Valley. Stuff is definitely starting to get better and more exciting a little bit. You can see how it can start to build again. And I hope that trend continues. And Speaking of the Valley, I will say that the transition between Vanderpump Rules and the Valley that we saw this week was pretty damn great. It obviously wasn't on the same level as Beverly Hills into Vanderpump Rules back in the day, which was via a conversation between Sheena and Brandy Glanville, but it was still pretty damn solid. Side note, the clip of that original transition made the rounds on Twitter again this week, and fuck, it's good. Go look it up. It's worth the rewatch. They really did something there. And say what you will about Sheena, but this show would not be what it is without her. So speaking of the Valley, I was not that excited for the show, as I think I've discussed several times on this podcast. And all the updates around Jax and Brittany's breakup still pretty much do nothing for me. But that being said, I found the premiere surprisingly decent. I have to admit it. It wasn't perfect, and I wouldn't say it was amazing, but I was very pleasantly surprised. Kristen Doty obviously carries it, and Jax is an agent of chaos. And I like that we had cameos from Lala and Sheena and company, because it makes it feel more organic, it makes it feel less random, and it kind of grounds us as viewers. And, you know, the new additions, the people who fill out the cast around Jax, Brittany, and Kristen, I don't really know any of their names yet, but they're honestly more compelling than I expected. I do know one of their names, Janet, the pregnant one. She stands out to me as an early favorite. I like her vibe. I like her sort of dry humor. And I like that she has genuinely been connected to the group for a while. But we're still getting to know all these people. And even so, you can see why that one couple, again, I forget their names, just split up right before the premiere. They apparently broke up. And we can see the cracks already 45 minutes into this season. And so I'm just intrigued to learn more about them and their relationship, because it kind of seems like a house of cards. So all of that brings me to the next show we're getting, Summer House Martha's Vineyard, the second season of which premieres on Sunday at 9 p.m. on Bravo. And I'm very excited because I very much enjoyed that first season. I don't think everybody watched it. And so if you have not watched it, it's only 8 episodes. Go stream it on Peacock. But to me, this show is kind of in the same boat as Southern Hospitality, which just finished its great second season. Some people still won't listen to me and won't watch that show for some reason. But, you know, they had a promising first season, just like Martha's Vineyard. And it has a really strong, they both have really strong casts that aren't afraid to wade into the mess. And crucially, they all have real connections to one another, and they've known each other for several years. And they have a second chance, just like Southern Hospitality did, to prove themselves as able to deliver on their promise, to give us a leveled up second go round. And I think that's what we're going to get from this group. So ahead of Sunday's premiere, I have two separate interviews with four of the cast members, both of which were recorded this week. First up is Jasmine Ellis Cooper and Bria Fleming, followed by Nick Arrington and Preston Mitchum. We talked about lingering drama from season one, shifting dynamics between the seasons, Jasmine's husband Silas not being around this season, various individual friendship dynamics, and much more. Keep listening for my interviews with Jasmine, Bria, Nick, and Preston. Tune into the Summer House Martha's Vineyard season 2 premiere on Sunday, March 24th at 9 p.m. on Bravo. Stream season 1 on Peacock, and please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbling with Gib wherever you get your podcasts. I want to gab. Okay, today we're gabbing with Bria Fleming and Jasmine Ellis Cooper from Southern House Martha's Vineyard. Season 2 premieres on Sunday, March 24th at 9 p.m. after The Real Housewives of Potomac. I'm so excited for the show to be back, and even more excited to have some time with you two today. Thanks for being here. Are you guys excited for season 2?
Yes.
I'm anxious. I'm so ready. I'm pumped.
Oh, yeah.
First things first, Jasmine, congratulations on Silas Jr. Very excited. I mean, and I think we'll see probably some of the pregnancy news come out on this season, I'm guessing. But congratulations. I'm so excited for you and Silas.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We're excited. It's parenthood is real.
Okay, so we don't have that much time. So let's just jump right into it. A big contributing factor to this season seems to be what happened between seasons, who was excluded from what events and what group chats and it seemed like there was a divide that maybe formed, not like a clear divide, but some kind of fractured divide that happened within this cast between seasons. Is that accurate? Did a divide form between season 1 and 2?
I mean, so, you know, we're all friends. We've been friends for a while. And, you know, sometimes more people just click better than others. And, you know, it's just off energy. As you can see from the first episode, we have a new girl, Noelle, that came in. You know, Summer brought her in as a friend, but, you know, we clicked real quick. So, you know, we all have love for each other, but, you know, some people are just closer than others. others. And, you know, the relationships has changed in a good way, but for sure, new dynamics and new clicks, I would say.
Jasmine, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I would say that's just the beauty of doing a show like this. You cannot hide anything from cameras. Like, realistically, life still goes on and we're still friends and we're not filming. And so you get closer to other people and dynamics and friendships change naturally. And you get to see all those layers peel back this season. And it doesn't happen in a very black and white way. And I think that adds a little bit to the what makes it kind of fun.
Yeah.
Us figuring out where do I stand with all my friends. Basically, everyone's kind of looking at that. But at the same time, I'm still going to have fun and just explore the summer.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that because even just watching this first episode, it's like clearly there are fractures, but it's kind of hard to pinpoint exactly what they are, which I think makes the intrigue of the season even higher. You know, and also like you guys filmed the second season right after season one aired. So I'm guessing that a lot of that was really fresh in your mind. Is that correct, too?
Yeah, it was pretty quick after. And you'll see.
Yeah,
maybe like season one, we were a little bit chilly just because of just the weather at the time of year.
Yeah,
you're seeing skin. OK, it's giving skin.
We love to see it.
It's hot outside. We're definitely in the pool a lot more. and it just adds to the fun part of the summer.
Yeah. And Jasmine, you know, obviously a big difference for you is that Silas is not in the house this season. And not even in a shady way at all, but I was excited to have for you to have a moment to kind of fly solo on this season, because I feel like, I mean, you were newlyweds last summer. There was a lot of pressure. And I think that some of that pressure was self-inflicted a little bit. But like for you to come into this season riding solo and kind of, did you feel like there was less pressure for you to just kind of like, or did you feel more because of what happened last year?
No, I honestly feel like this summer is a little similar to last summer. It's another opportunity for me to see where I stand with people. And last year it was, okay, some of you guys were at my wedding. We're trying to have fun, but also stuff back at home and right here are still happening. So I'm adjusting in real time. And this time I get a little bit more space to speak up a little bit more and make sure that everyone knows, remember, this is who I am, period, with or without my husband. So this is just a reminder. I can have a shot with you. We can have fun. But also, I'm definitely going to be extra cautious of speaking my mind more, because it's important for your friends to clearly know where you stand with them at all times. And that's kind of a takeaway I had from last summer, is that I wasn't really speaking to anyone about how I really felt about things.
Right. Well, that's a good change to make. And Bria, we're going to see Simon later in the season. And obviously, there was some drama when he was at the house last year. Is it going to go the same way this season? Or what can we expect from him showing up in season two?
You will have to wait to see. That's all I can say is you will have to wait to see. It's fun. A lot of fun.
Okay. And I will say, I'm glad to see that Milo is not causing any drama, at least not yet.
Oh, I mean, he stirs it up a little bit, but he, you know, he...
Not only, that's family now.
Because that's the first thing people like to ask, like, what about you and Jasmine? And I'm like, no, that's like her little baby. Milo loves Jasmine. And he's a part of our family, you know, like it would be a different summer house without him being there. So I'm glad that like everyone's on the same page as him coming, and they're just so welcoming and they show him a lot of love. So it's nice.
I love that. And then your friend, your guys' friendship, Bria and Jasmine, it's sort of like, obviously, you know, we hear a little bit of it talked about of like, you know, how Jordan and Summer got really close. And there was like this kind of clicky thing that formed, I think, like between seasons. Do you feel like that pushed you two even closer together? Like, talk to me about the growth of your friendship just between you two.
I'm trying to think, when do we connect? We connected. Like she would always check on me. That's one thing about Jasmine, is like from the time of filming and the ending and the break that we had, that downtime, and I was in Germany, she checked on me probably like once a week, like always just checking in. And then when I came back from Germany to New York, you know, I brought Simon, it was his birthday. And that's when we really like connected again. I'm like, hey, come out to Simon's birthday, like come hang out with us, because we did go to Silas's deployment. And then, you know, I want it to be that support system there for her and just rebuild back up our relationship. So, you know, in July, we met up and we had some fun. And then, you know, it was great when we came back in the house, just on a really positive note. And I'm glad we got to like talk about it, things, and just, you know, have that, the space to just connect together. And then we, I don't know, we've always been close.
Yeah.
We've been friends for like 6 years now. So we've always been close.
Yeah.
People have their different lifestyles, and then, you know, you go your different ways, but we're closer than ever now. And it's so much fun. And I'm glad we're on the same the page. And
that's
same
nice.
Way. It's literally like little sis at this point, little sis, sister. And yeah. To answer your question, I think it happens separately. I don't think Bria and I's closeness or how we really put in effort to give each other another like reset was separate between anything going on with anybody else. And so thank God for that. And I think you see immediately, it's like, okay, so they're clearly good and we are. And it just kind of gets, you can get to the fun quicker. I don't know. Like, I don't like having anything with anybody. Like, let's talk about it. Let's move forward, because clearly we all love each other. We keep coming back to these houses.
There we go. And like, I also, Jasmine, I appreciated in this premiere of like, you were really eager to at least have a conversation with Jordan and just like put, like air it out, kind of get the feelings out. And it, at least from this first episode, doesn't seem like Jordan is either like maybe not ready to have that conversation, doesn't want to have that conversation as much as you do. And we see in the confessional that she basically said that she thought that you were being like inauthentic last summer and trying to like uphold this, in her words, like an image of a perfect wife. And she just thought that she wasn't getting the real you. How did you react to seeing her say that? And going off that, what else can we expect from you guys trying to figure out a path forward?
Yeah, you know, at the time that we were having that conversation, you know, I went into it with open arms, like, okay, it's like the second day, I think, let's talk about this. I'm, like I told you, very intentional about just being more direct with my friends this summer and everyone in my life, period. And when that was her response, I mean, I took it at face value, but I still was searching for what I did. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I think even today we haven't really hashed out what happened, but I know that I went to her birthday party and she came to my baby shower. And just like with Bria, it's like words are one thing, but showing up for somebody else is something separate. So I think we'll both, at the end of the day, that'll hold true no matter what was said. But at the time that the conversation was happening, I definitely was still searching for my part, I guess.
Yeah, I get that.
Because none of my friends, as you can see, everyone speaks their opinion.
Yeah.
And so I guess because I didn't get that, I was a little thrown off, to be honest.
Yeah. And I guess it speaks to what you were saying earlier, is like there are kind of different seasons within a friendship. And like maybe you guys just were in different kind of, you know, moments in your life. Bria, do you have any sort of other perspective on what has gone on between Jasmine and Jordan as a friend to both?
I mean, as a friend to both, I try not to get involved in it, to be honest. Yeah. You know, like I stay neutral, and it's just something that they have to figure out. There's no sides, you know. I show love to both. And then I'm like, you know what, guys, this is, you're both two grown ladies. You guys can figure it out. And they're on a respectful, you know, we all talk, we're in the same group chats. We, you know, we go to the same events. So, you know, as long as there's respect between everyone, then that's all that matters to me.
Yeah, that's
I don't
want to
see anybody hurt or anything, but no one, everyone's strong. And we're like, okay, take it as.
You know, so Jasmine, you tell the cast that you're not drinking this summer because it just feels like the right decision for you. And obviously, we know that, you know, you're pregnant. I'm guessing that
But let me tell you the tea, though. I genuinely stopped drinking before I got pregnant. And so it was such
fortuitous timing.
The timing was crazy. And so I was speaking from an organic place, but also, two things can be true. I'm pregnant, but also I stopped drinking before I got pregnant. I don't know if that's helped or if that's the key to it, but that is where I was speaking from still, but also just not feeling ready just yet, especially the first day, to kind of get into all that. Clearly, there was enough going on.
But are you kind of laughing, seeing there are already some whispers of like, oh, is Jasmine pregnant?
I didn't even know that. I really didn't.
But watching it back, are you laughing a little bit? Like, oh, they're kind of on to me.
It's so funny because I really thought I was pulling it off better than I actually was. So it is funny to kind of see back. Like Bria said, there's some things in conversations that you don't know until we watch back later. So it is funny to be like, oh, maybe I wasn't doing as great as a job as I thought I was.
And Bria, in the premiere, you have a moment with Preston where you sort of storm out of this dinner and then you come back and you guys apologize very quickly to one another. And I know you both are also very close, but I think in the trailer, there's like some other comment that I think is made. So it seems like maybe there might be another moment between you two. Is that just the nature of your friendship? Like it's just very passionate, or is it deeper to you?
No, I think it's very passionate. I look at it as like a brother sister love. Yeah. He's older than me. I'm the second youngest because Amir's the first. And like, we're going to bicker. Preston and I, we bicker a lot and go back and forth. And I guess the dialect and the words I choose to use towards him, you know, they're not very nice sometimes, but it's all love, you know. That's why I came back and was like, I do love him. I'm going to go back and talk to him because he is my friend. He does talk with me, but sometimes we do have our moments. Yeah, and then we just cleared up. And it was also the first day. So I'm like, I'm not going to let this drag the whole entire vacation. Like,
that was smart.
I have to nip it in the butt. And he also was going through the loss of his father at that time as well. So I did have to check my emotions. Like, you know what, Bria, go apologize. This is your friend. You don't hurt your friends. So no, it's all love. We're in a great place right now.
Good.
We do bicker. You'll see some bickering.
Last kind of question, I guess, is there seems to be a lot of feelings around Amir's girlfriend. You know, we got a hint of it from Summer in this premiere. The trailer hints at more to come when she arrives. What can you tease for me as to what we can expect from that whole situation?
I'm just going to say this. As you saw with Bria and I last season, you do see another part to someone when their significant other comes. Yeah. And that happens for a couple of people this season. And I think Natalie and Amir are just a part of that. So we get to see what he's like as a significant other and she's like as a significant other and what it's like coming into this group. She's a really cool girl. She's a Sagittarius, so there's a little fire to her. But again, I think it's exciting to see Amir be excited about his partner coming. That was my takeaway.
Bria, any other thoughts on that?
I would say the same thing. You know, just to top what Jasmine said, they don't know what it's like when we bring our other halves in. So now that he's in the hot seat, and, you know, especially because he did have, you know, previous like feelings for Jordan, you know, the tea's going to get started a little bit. And, you know, Natalie is a very cool person. Jordan's a very cool person. So that dynamic that unfolds, that's just something that you have to wait to see. But it's entertaining.
It's spicy. Okay.
Popcorn ready.
Oh, it's ready. It's popped.
He is
just make a meal. Popcorn doesn't cut it this time.
Yeah. You know what? Yes.
And oh, wait, also Noelle, who I think right off the bat, like her energy is just like, not that you guys needed anything. Honestly, it's a great cast, but like she's bringing something that a box that wasn't checked. I think it's just this.
Oh, we needed her for sure.
The reaction faces like she's giving it to me. What are we going to expect from Noelle? She seems like quite the character.
We love No-No. No-No is what we call her.
No-No. Love it.
To your point, she was the missing piece to me. And I'm so grateful that Summer brought her in because she did check a box that we were like, oh, box unchecked. She just is such fun, light, but she'll tell you how she feels. It's nothing but genuine energy. She's there to have a good time. And clearly she's a girl's girl. So yeah, she gets respect for me, period. Wow. We love her.
We do. I'm obsessed. Her energy is very contagious, like in a very positive way. And when she came into the house, she came in treating everyone with the same respect because, you know, Summer brought her in. So when she came in, everyone got treated equally, which I love.
Yeah.
It was one of the main factors when I brought Simon. They thought, you know, maybe his energy might be different. But no, hers is just genuine love, laughter, like the Southern girl she is. She's bomb. She got bomb energy. We love her. That's that.
I love
No-No
that.
As my fellow ATLian, it's just like I feel protective of her a little bit. So
yeah,
I'm excited.
That's important to hear, though, that like even though Summer brought her in, she didn't just like automatically like jump into like that side. You know what I mean? Like she kind of gave everyone a chance. And that's really important, I think. Well, Bria and Jasmine, I think that's all the time we have. But I love chatting with you. I can't wait for people to see this premiere and for the rest of this season. I'll see you on Thursday for the premiere party.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, of course. Thanks for having us.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Gibson.
Bye.
Want to Gab. Okay, today we're gabbing with Nick Arrington and Preston Mitchum, two of the stars of Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, season two of which premieres this Sunday on Bravo. Nick and Preston, I'm so excited for people to see this excellent premiere, to continue to get with it on this amazing show. How are you guys feeling premiere week?
Feeling good. Yeah, feeling good. You know, I mean, we can't turn back now. So so we're here regardless.
The train has left the station, you know?
The train has left the station. Right. And so season two filmed pretty close to when season one aired. So there wasn't that much time for you guys to kind of like digest that aspect of this whole experience. How did the closeness of those two things like affect the summer that we're going to see play out?
Honestly, it feels like we never left, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, quiet as it's kept, I'm ready to get back to
the yeah, honestly.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just such a beautiful place. And time stops for nobody. And time for us just moves so rapidly because so much was thrown at us all at once. And your experience may have been a little different than mine because you were also at BravoCon. So it was like, when does it,
right?
When does it end? It doesn't. It's life now.
Yeah, no, it really is just like succession. Right. And to be honest, I'm just happy to be here. You know, I know I keep saying this a lot, like living in this moment, spirit of gratitude. But the reality is my life and our life didn't have to be this way. And the powers that be made it so that it is. And it doesn't make it easy. But it does make you, I think, just kind of sit with it and be a little bit more gracious about it. No matter how like chaotic these moments are, I would choose this chaos over many other chaotic moments in life. So I'm just grateful to be here, truly.
That's a great way of looking at it. And it must also put the smaller points of conflict or smaller tensions into perspective because you're like, wait a second, we have this whole platform now.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's also interesting because, again, it also doesn't make those moments easier.
Right.
Because they're real, right? And just like you will with your friends, you'll get in arguments with your friends and hopefully you'll come back after some conflict has been resolved or if the conflict has been resolved. So it doesn't make it easier, but it does, to your point, put things into perspective. Like, this is actually probably not that big of a deal. Mm. It probably feels that way in the moment because it's a pressure cooker environment, but let's be for real and just drink.
Right. It's like the group chat coming to life, right? So let's say Preston and I have an argument, right? We could solve it, squash it, whatever. But now eight other people have an opinion about the same argument. Now we have to hear their opinion. I was like, wait a minute, this has nothing to do with y'all.
You know? There we go.
You know? Yeah. Preston used up all of my shampoo. That's it. That's all we're talking about. You know? But when you add other people into it, but it also makes it funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you learn something as well because you get someone else's perspective.
Right. Well, it's interesting because in this first episode, it feels like any tension that we're seeing play out is kind of based off of things that happened between summers of like, you didn't invite me to this event or, you know, I was not in that group chat or whatever. And so, I mean, and that feels like you just said, that feels like the group chat come to life. That feels just like a regular friend group kind of parsing through different things. Like we all deal with that kind of stuff.
We do, right? I mean, the reality is when you have a big, like, let's say 10 friends, which is what we have, right? There are going to be certain pockets of those friendships that are closer than others. But the reality is you still can feel like you are obligated to be invited to or entitled to be invited to certain places, even when those friendships may not be as close. And I think anyone can relate to that, right?
Yeah.
Especially think our audience can, because I know I see these conversations playing out on Twitter around like invitations or brunches or different things that we know that we're used to. So hopefully the audience will really be like, you know what? That's been me before.
I get it.
Like
right.
Hashtag no invite. People have done that. Right?
Yeah.
It's like when you're in the, we're in the house, we do everything together. Mm-hmm. So you have that level of expectation when we go to our respective homes where we actually live. Mm-hmm. I mean, even like, let's say when you guys go to the grocery store, I feel kind of left out. If I'm still sat in the kitchen, well, I wanted to go to the grocery store too. I don't even need to buy groceries.
No. Right?
I just want to go.
You just want to be along for the ride. Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Right.
I don't want to miss anything.
I feel like another thing that comes with, you know, again, a general friend group, and Preston, I think that you and Jordan, I think are maybe like the most overt example of this, which is like you met through another friend, basically, and you've become really close. Like your friendship is a very prominent friendship in this group. And, you know, Jordan and Jasmine have kind of gone the opposite way and they've kind of gotten less close. And we see that conversation start to happen in this premiere episode. What are your thoughts on that situation? Obviously, we know Jordan's perspective and we know Jasmine's perspective, and they don't necessarily align. So I'm curious, as a good friend of Jordan, as a friend to both, what's your perspective on what's going on between them?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a mixture of feelings there, right? I think on some instance, I mean, because I'm always going to be honest, right? I do tend to see Jordan's side a little bit more. And it's not even because some of it may be because we're close and I've just heard her perspective a little bit more. Some of it maybe because I also understand the perspective because, you know, of friendship with Jasmine and Silas. And so I do understand a little bit more like the people that you have a friendship with who you no longer see acting the way you're used to them acting, you can retreat a little bit because it could be unscary because you may not trust the person that you're seeing. In some instances, may not know the person that you're seeing, even though they may be figuring themselves out too. Ultimately, though, I just really pray they get back to their friendship because, in my opinion, they really miss each other. They truly love each other. And there's just like an impasse. Mm-hmm. And I think with friendships, there are some impasses that happen that you can avoid and kind of figure it out. And there are some impasses that actually looks like the end of a friendship. I just pray that this is not the latter.
For sure. And this is for both of you. I mean, a big difference from last summer to this summer is that Silas is not there. He was deployed. And, you know, I guess from a viewer's perspective, you know, it's sort of like, I was excited for Jasmine just in that it gave her the opportunity to like be on her own within this context and like maybe be freed up from whatever she felt as like a newlywed and what have you. From both your perspectives, how did Silas's absence this summer affect the group dynamic and what we're going to see play out?
I think it's just different. Yeah. You know, let's say if Preston had a housewarming, right? And I wasn't there. That doesn't make it less than, it just makes it different.
Right.
I'm just not there. So that gives, in this instance, Jasmine an opportunity to, you know, spend more time with us. And I hope that Silas has peace of mind that we got her, you know, we're her friends, we're her support system as well. So yes, he's going to miss his wife. I think I can honestly say that. I don't like speaking for other people, but distance also makes the heart grow fonder. So hopefully them being apart brings Jasmine closer to us in the house and then them close to one another. I think there's beauty in space, right? In those lulls.
You know, I was sharing for a bit that I also, in a way, not in many ways, I'm very empathetic to Jasmine. You know, I can only imagine how much she struggled with being alone, for the lack of a better word, right? Clearly, Silas was there supporting her virtually as much as he could. But, you know, what we now know, obviously, there'd be a pregnancy and then an eventual birth and being newlyweds still and not having the best relationship with every person in the house to coming in the summertime. I can imagine it feeling very isolating. At the same time, I do always hope introspection kicks in, right? Because no one was intentionally excluded in a malicious way, right? There were just different dynamics of friendships and some tension that didn't make sense to always include her in certain spaces. And again, at the same time, I can only imagine how she must have felt, right? Like not being there with Silas and how difficult it may be, right? To actually be getting closer to some of us while Silas is deployed, right? Like, I also think those are just layered dynamics that I just that I'm grateful that I'm not to be like honestly experiencing, because I can only imagine what that means for the psyche.
For sure. Nick, you know, last year you caught some heat for not being completely upfront about like your relationship status and what was going on in your love life. And we see in this trailer for this season that like Amir says, or he says that you have a girlfriend, but sometimes your eyes wander. That's Amir's words. And there's some clip of you and Shanice dancing. What can we expect from that situation? I guess, what did you learn from the situation from last summer that you took into filming for the second season?
A lot of questions. We can get into them all. So first and foremost, me going into this season, there's no surprises. I come into the house in a committed relationship. I leave the summer in a committed relationship. So
good.
That the audience won't get another surprise, which is great for me and my peace of mind, to point of psyche. In regards to what I learned last year, I also learned that I'm not perfect. I'm a man who makes mistakes, but I'm also a man who is accountable for those mistakes. And it's funny, I'm sitting next to this guy. So Preston was on Watch What Happens Live with Andy the latter part of the summer. And, you know, the same conversation came up. So instead of asking Preston's opinion, Andy turns to me and says, well, since the man is in the audience, And it gave me an opportunity to, you know, apologize for my actions, you know, to Tayshia on national television. And mm-hmm. I just so happened to have that platform. So that's good. In regards to what Amir was saying, well, we got to talk to Amir about that, you know.
I think we do.
This is something I don't share with a lot of people. We kind of get into it. And I think going into this season with no surprises, you kind of get into more of my personal business and personal life. I got into a baseball accident in 2006. I just got hit in the right eye. And I lost most of the vision over here. So in regards to them wandering, I got to focus on what's in front of me. So I don't really have time for wandering eyes. So I really only
just
have
practically, time. Just practically, you know? You got, you know, it.
From a safety perspective.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm actually curious to see where he's coming from that perspective. Okay. And then also, I can say comfortably that Shanice and I, we're friends, and that's all that we are. Mm-hmm. I know the trailer is doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Of course it is, yeah.
I actually thought it was pretty funny. So
sense of humor about it. We like to see it. Preston, you and Bria have a moment in the premiere. It's tense. You exchange some words.
No, we didn't.
But you make up quickly. You know, she comes out pretty quickly and you guys hug each other. I think there might be a comment or two in that trailer again about each other that's made. What's behind sort of the ups and downs in that friendship? Because you're good friends, but there's like, to me, there's a lot of passion on both sides. And I'm curious what your perspective on that is.
Yeah, so that's a good question. So the reality is that, you know, you may see more arguments with me and Bria, just to be clear. Bria's like the little sister I never asked for. And so I think the reality is I love Bria. Like sometimes it gets tricky because it may not look like it all the time, right? Mm-hmm. But I love Bria. Like I think Bria is like she packs a big punch, right? Like, and sometimes it can be a lot. I'm also very self-aware of my reactions, my actions, how I speak to people. And sometimes I don't think Bria is. Mm-hmm. And I think coming from someone who is admittedly a decade older than her and is very self-aware, it's difficult for me sometimes, truly. And I've addressed this to Bria very directly. That gets very difficult for me, right? Because everything to me is not all about fun and drinking. Yeah, that's a great dynamic and we should always play that out. And there's also a moment of like, what does respect look like? How do we speak to each other? How do you not center yourself in a comment that's obviously about other people? And I think for me, I struggle with her a little bit there. And at the same time, acknowledging that I really do think Bria is a lot of fun and really good spirit. And so I think those arguments are just right. They're just big when they're big. But when we're good, we're good. And I think that's what I really can appreciate about our dynamic, as erratic as sometimes it is. To the point of our dinner table argument, you know, the reality is, you know, I will never blame like my father's death on what happened. And at the same time, I acknowledge that I would not have responded that way had I not been also dealing with life.
Right. Right.
No matter how long you're filming, life still continues. And so I was coming into it with a lot, right? And that just made me go on emotional overdrive in moments that I still, you know, don't know if I think I was fully in the wrong, to be honest, but I just know I would have handled it differently.
Right.
Which is why I apologized right after, because I'm self-aware to know that I would not have addressed it this way ordinarily.
Right. And I also think it was great of her to have that introspection and be like, oh, fuck, like Preston is going through this. Let me come back down, kind of thing. So I feel like you guys meet each other where you need to meet each other when you need to.
Yeah.
That's nice to see.
Preston and Bria will always be a very erratic dynamic duo in a way. And we'll always get back to our friendship because we truly do appreciate each other.
Great. So the other sort of thing that I feel like is kind of a mystery, I think, to viewers is sort of like what to expect from Amir's girlfriend, because the premiere has a comment that I feel like has some implications, or there's a question. I think it's Summer who asked, like, what do you guys think of Amir's girlfriend? Or somebody asked that. And then there's, you know, there's some drama tease in the trailer. What do you guys think of Amir's girlfriend and what's sort of to come from her presence in the house?
I mean, so Natalie and I, and Nick as well, we've hung out many a times, and I think she's really fun. Amir clearly loves her. I do think there were some moments that she got involved in stuff that I wouldn't have.
Okay.
That's just the reality.
And very diplomatic.
I don't know if she made the best decisions when it came to certain things. I'll end that there.
I've spent one-on-one time, or really just like double dates with Amir, Natalie, myself, and Tasia. We went out 2 or 3 times in New York City. So in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, this is going to be more of the same. But again, when you add different dynamics and different people and different opinions, you know, things look a little different.
Right.
So I'll leave that Easter egg for you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's interesting because I feel like some people react to sort of this environment as sort of a pressure cooker, and some people are a little bit more natural in it. And that's an interesting...
Or you could just go and do yourself. That always works.
Right. Yeah, I'm just saying the reaction is, you know, I feel like you never know how you're going to react to 10 people in a house.
No, that's real.
Knowing there's cameras, you know, it's like a tough...
Well, so that's what's so funny because, you know, like, you know, I love me some social media and hate it. And it is always the dynamic that people always swear how they will be on our TV show. Right. Like, you wish. You have no idea how you will be on the show.
Right.
It's different from summer to summer.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Because what you say earlier, life is going to life, right?
Life is going to life.
Add that.
Life is going to life. Right, exactly. So to close it out, like, you know, you had that first experience that was a slightly different time of year, honestly, in filming. And there was 8 episodes and kind of came and went like very quickly. It was great 8 episodes. But now you have the second go round. And I'm just curious what each of you just took from that first experience, both from filming it, airing the whole 9 yards into the second go round, where it's the height of the summer and we're maybe have a little bit more like breathing air. Like, just what was it like for you guys to jump back in?
Weather is definitely beautiful this time around. Mercurial still rained a little bit. It was cold one weird night. But what we didn't do is we didn't complain about the weather. Mm-hmm. We just got out and did what we needed to do, whatever the case may have been, whether we were having a house party or going out in the elements. But the weather was great. And for me, I know I was training for, 2 marathons and that were coming up that fall. So a lot of running. I was up, like, it was... It's funny, they had an interview post. Someone asked me, who's up in the morning first? It's either me, you, or Jasmine. I'm usually passing Jasmine. She's like making a cup of tea. And this one's on a conference call. And I'm putting on my running shoes and headed out of the house.
It's a true summer house. Yeah.
But I think the weather was so good this time around. And then also, this is what's scary. When you don't think about the cameras, you just live. You kind of just... You're just there. It's like, we're here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Admittedly.
We're here. We're sleeping in bunk beds.
But we did have fun.
I'm sure.
And then also, like, if my only complaint on a summer vacation is a bunk bed, is that really, you know?
Very valid.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
You know?
Admittedly, though, I did complain about the weather one night. But I still went out and partied.
Okay.
Cold as hell.
I complained for an hour straight before. But the reality is, I think to your question, I just wanted to just have a good time. You know, so I admittedly, you know, I was working a full-time job for another organization when we were filming last summer. And then this summer, you know, thankfully I was months into my social impact consulting firm. And so that allowed me a little bit more flexibility to actually kind of do what I wanted to do. So I wouldn't have to be on conference calls a day. So that was really great to actually be able to be more in tune and interact with my friends this summer, which maybe I should have interacted less. Let me go back at you tonight.
Find the sweet spot in the middle, right?
No, but just to be yourself, just to not focus on the cameras, and just to avoid perfection. Like, perfection is truly the enemy of the good. And no matter how perfect you think you're going to come across, it doesn't matter, right? Like, everyone has their moments. Everyone has good days. Everyone has bad days. You're going to cuss someone out. You're going to be generous, right? Like, I think so much of us came into it initially with trying to have this perfect cookie cutter image, and the real us came out. You can't avoid yourself.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's really how I came into this time again.
That's awesome.
Mirrors, but you can't avoid yourself.
Right.
That's sure.
There we go.
I think that's profound. Like, let the perfectionism go.
Yeah.
Because that's not real. That's not realistic. That's not real. And then also,
and the audience will see it.
Right.
Yeah.
And we don't want the audience to see that. We want the audience to see themselves in us.
Yeah. And I always think, I mean, just from watching the shows for so long, it's like, when you sense somebody playing to the audience or trying to be even just slightly inauthentic,
then
we're not stupid. You know, it's like, you can see it.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see you guys embrace that aspect of it. Well, Nick and Preston, this has been so much fun. I'm excited for everybody to see this premiere again. And I just love the show. And I'm so excited for it to continue to grow and connect with more people. So congratulations on another great premiere. And I'll see you guys tonight.
See you. You've been a day one supporter. So thank you.
I try. You know, you see the potential in these shows early on. I really think that. And you guys are an amazing cast. I really believe that. So it's been fun.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. See you later.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.